As Iraq moves towards scheduled elections in January, Afghanistan is preparing for its first elections in more than a generation. NPR's Philip Reeves joins us from Kabul. Philip, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
And elections are scheduled for October 9th. Of course, interim President Hamid Karzai is the best-known candidate in the United States. He's facing 17 other candidates for the presidency. What are the chances that any name that might not be familiar to us might challenge him? And what are anyone's chances for winning a majority in so crowded a field?
Well, Karzai is widely acknowledged as the favourite. He's by far the best known of the candidates. I mean, I've spoken to Afghans in rural areas who can't name more than one other candidate, but they all know who he is. He's also a Pashtun. That's the largest ethnic group in Afghanistan, and ethnicity is seen as very important in this country. But there are challenges, as you say, and the most significant of these is thought to be the former Education and Interior Minister, Yunus Kanuni. He's a Tajik from the Northern Alliance, and he's well respected in parts of the country. And there's also General Abdul Rashid Dostum. He's an Uzbek military commander, powerful among the Uzbeks of the north. Both these two men have been making public appearances in the last several days. By contrast, Karzai's ability to campaign publicly is restricted by concerns of the risk of his assassination. He went to Gardis, south of Kabul, the other day, but his helicopter turned around, and the trip, much, we're told, to his annoyance, was cancelled after a rocket was fired in the vicinity of the landing area. And even paying a visit to a museum in Kabul this week, I watched him travelling there, and the capital was cleared in the area that he was of traffic well before his motorcade swept through, accompanied by his very well-armed US bodyguard detail. And there were Afghan soldiers stationed every few hundred metres, every few dozen metres along his route.
Mm. Afghans are going to be able to cast individual ballots on the 9th of October, but I wonder what, in Afghan society, what role is there for warlords or tribal elders?
We don't actually know to what degree Afghans will be choose to or indeed be able to vote as individuals. You know, this is a traditional society. There's a very high level of illiteracy. There are large areas of lawlessness, and no one has really any experience of democracy here. Mm-hmm. So there are concerns, especially among advocacy and human rights groups, for example, that in some areas voters will simply do as they're told, either by tribal elders who are very influential in Afghanistan, or by the equally influential, even more influential, military commanders or warlords. Who might seek to use pressure to deliver votes en bloc in return for power or even money. Mm-hmm. And that's given rise to, you know, concerns about the possibility of fraud and some warnings from these groups that the measures so far taken to prevent fraud appear far from sufficient.
And what about international monitors? Who will be on the ground to oversee the elections and certify them?
International organizations like the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, often in these circumstances send large monitoring teams to elections in countries that are new to democracy. Now, that's not the case here. We aren't sure how many international observers there are going to be. Mm. I've been given one figure of 280. Election officials admit that that is not sufficient, but they say that's not the key issue. The key question is whether there are irregularities that are widespread enough to make a difference, and we'll only know that when the election happens in a week's time.
NPR's Philip Reeves in Kabul, thanks very much.
You're welcome.